Welcome to Life Together, a podcast for Gresham Bible Church, where we exist to glorify God in being disciples who make disciples of all people through the transforming power of the gospel. For this episode, we hear from Lindsay Bach about her experience in growing as a student of God's Word. Lindsay shares what that process has looked like in her life as a Christian woman and how trusting God's goodness has helped her to ask hard questions and to see that God and His Word are more than sufficient for whatever questions we might have. I'm so thankful for Lindsay and think you'll find this conversation helpful as we seek to be a church of men and women who are word-centered and gospel-driven. Hey, Gresham Bible Church. For this episode of the podcast, we're going to have a conversation with Lindsay Bach. Glad to have Lindsay here. Give maybe just kind of an overview of what we're going to talk about, and we'll dive right in. So I reached out to Lindsay, and she graciously said yes, that she'd be willing to come on just to have a conversation about her love for God's Word and how that has developed in her life. And I hope this conversation is really encouraging. Just hear what that has been like in Lindsay's life, and hopefully it encourages all of us as a church, and especially the younger people in our church, younger men, younger women, to be about God's Word. So real quick before we start, John 17:17 just kept coming to mind for our conversation. Jesus prays for all who would believe in Him, sanctify them in your truth. Your word is truth. So we want to talk about your love for God's Word today. So Lindsay, before we jump in, let's start here first, though. For those that know you, that have been members of GBC with you for maybe a long time, or maybe those that are newer to our church, what is something someone should know about you that maybe they don't?
Something that people might not know about me is that you probably know that I like music. I've sung on the worship team off and on, and stuff like that. But I actually took 9 years of piano lessons when I was a kid.
Wow.
I did choir all through high school and college. And my senior year of high school, I was actually the lead in my school's musical.
That's awesome.
I was Marion the Librarian in The Music Man.
Nice.
Awkwardly, in that play, the person who's playing Marion has to kiss two different people. And I'd never kissed anyone. So my first kiss was in rehearsal before The Music Man as a senior in high school. And it was as awkward and horrifying as it sounds.
Lindsay,
it was great.
That's amazing. So you love music so much. So just real quick, who are some of your favorite like musical groups?
In high school, I loved Reliant K. That was
nice.
My favorite.
Yes.
I loved it so much.
Okay.
So that was a big one for me. I really like Audrey Assad. She's not really a group. She's just an individual, but, I really like Audrey Assad as well. So
okay.
Those are some good ones.
I was hoping you were going to go like death metal or something like that.
Metallica or something.
Yeah,
you have to talk to Jason about that.
Oh, okay.
He likes to play the screaming music out in the barn when he's working on things.
Music.
Okay.
Learn something about him too.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to talk about how good you are at Legend of Zelda games for the things people don't know about you.
I don't think I'm good at them, but I like playing them. And I've played all of the 3D ones. I haven't played a lot of the handheld Zelda games, but I do love video games, which is not something I share in common with a lot of other women. But yeah, I play a lot of video games. I have the
cool
Switch at my house is mine. It's not my husband's. And yeah, something I do for fun.
So cool. I love it. That is awesome. All right. Well, let's jump in. This conversation can go a lot of different places, but let's just start with like, how did you start to love God's Word? You know, when did that start? How did that start? Just kind of walk that back for us a little bit.
Yeah, it's kind of something that started after I'd been a Christian for a little bit. I was saved when I was pretty young. I was 6 when I was baptized, I think, or maybe just about to turn 7, somewhere in there. And I think my profession of faith at that time was genuine, but it was definitely a childlike faith. Like I knew that I really wanted to obey my parents, but I couldn't do it in my own strength. And I would just like really wanted Jesus to help me obey my parents better. Mm-hmm. And so that was kind of what my faith started as. And then in middle school, I kind of still had that same like I feel like that first profession of faith, it was a little bit about people pleasing. I wanted my parents to be happy with me. Yep. And so in middle school, that sort of bent that I had ended up coming out in a way where I became kind of deceptive. I had a problem with lying and being dishonest. And at that time, I had kind of dug myself a hole in being dishonest about some things. And that was the first time I really turned to God's word as a place of comfort and just looking for wisdom to deal with the feelings that I was having about how guilty I felt about how much I'd been lying. I used my concordance and I think I was probably looking up like guilt or sin or something. And I read Psalm 51 for the first time, which is David's psalm that he wrote after his sin against Bathsheba. And it really spoke to me deeply and really kindled the repentance in my heart. It really made me feel strongly how much I had sinned against God primarily and not just against my parents and other people I'd been deceptive with. And it took time. It probably took months for that to really work in me. But eventually I did like come forward and I confessed and I was able to kind of work through that situation. I'm really thankful for that. And that was started a process in me of like wanting to read God's word more. I don't think it became really consistent at that time, but that was really when I started reading God's word more for myself. And then in high school, that was the first time that I read through the whole Bible.
Okay.
I don't think I read it front to back. I think I kind of like had a list and I was like crossing off and kind of jumping around to different books and stuff. That was the first time I read the Bible in its entirety. And I remember the most impactful thing from that being when I was reading the story of the Passover for the first time. And I'd heard that story a bunch of times, but I had never actually read the account in Exodus. And I remember getting to the part where they were talking about the lamb and remembering the passage in John where John the Baptist says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And realizing like, oh my gosh, the Old Testament and the New Testament are like connected in a way that I never really understood before. And it was so beautiful and amazing.
I love that you remember that.
I remember like where I was sitting on my bed when I read that for the first time. Cool. And just like hearing that verse in my head and being like, oh my gosh, that's so cool. But unfortunately, that didn't really turn into a habit of like daily Bible study after that. I was reading my Bible some, but it wasn't super consistent at that point. I think that was especially because in high school, I didn't really get plugged in with my church very much. I won't say which church I grew up at, but I went to a really big church and I was in a different school district than most of the kids at the church that I went to. And so I didn't really get plugged into a Bible study. I didn't really plug in at youth group. So I wasn't really, I was kind of doing it on my own. Okay. And so I wasn't super consistent with it. And then unfortunately, when I went to college, I also didn't get plugged in at a church at the college where I went because I went away to school. And so I kind of, again, would start reading things. I would read Christian books sometimes, or I would read the Bible sometimes, but I didn't really get plugged in with other Christians very well. Part of that was because most of my college experience was at Willamette University, which is not a Christian university, even though it was planted by Christians or started by Christians. But yeah, I didn't really have anyone that was discipling me. I didn't really have consistent Christian community. And I only had a few friends that were believers at school. And so I didn't really stay consistent in that. But once I finished school, I moved back to the Gresham area and I started attending GBC regularly. And that was when I started becoming a little bit more consistent with that. Not totally at first, but after a few years. And a lot of it was out of some painful things that were going on in my life that really pushed me to dig into questions that were hard, that I was really struggling with because of some things that were going on in my life that weren't really going the way that I planned or expected.
Wow. So then you start to plug into the local church. And at that point in time, also, it sounds like your enjoyment love for God's word started to grow too. Like, mm-hmm. just kind of paint the picture for us in that season of your life. How were you growing in knowing God and his word? And not trying to make it overly pragmatic, but like give us maybe different windows to understand that through.
Yeah. So like I said, it kind of started out of some difficult stuff that was going on. I graduated from college at the height of the Great Recession. When I started school, it was great. Like when I started school, they were saying, I went to school to be an English teacher. And when I started school, they were like, oh, in the next 10 years, like half the teachers in the country are going to be retiring. So there are going to be so many jobs out there. And by the time I graduated, they were laying off teachers by the hundreds. There were waiting lists to get on the sub list in different districts. Mm-hmm. And yeah, you could not find a job as a teacher to save your life. So Jason and I had finished my master's program. Jason and I had just gotten married and we were struggling to make ends meet. I was looking for basically any job that would take me. And I was like, this is not what I thought graduating from college was going to feel like. This was not what I thought being a newlywed was going to feel like. And I, at that point, had become more consistent in reading God's word and praying. And I realized, like in retrospect later, I had really gotten into this kind of prosperity gospel mindset about praying and being in God's word, that like, if I do those things, then God's just going to give me what I want. He's going to make me happy and I'm going to be content with what I have. And that's not how it works. And I really had to wrestle with like, what does it mean for God to be good when my life doesn't feel good? And why does God answer some prayers and not others? Mm-hmm. Does it mean that I've done something bad if my prayers aren't being answered the way that I wanted? And so I was wrestling with those questions. And so I was digging into God's word because I wanted to find answers. And that was a really hard process. It really took me to some of like the spiritual depths, like further than I'd ever been before. But out of it, my faith became so much stronger, just realizing that God isn't there to make me happy or to give me the things that I want, but God is good even when my life doesn't feel good. And my love of studying God's word really grew out of that because I realized that scripture and my faith could really stand up to scrutiny. I think a lot of us feel like maybe we shouldn't ask hard questions about our faith or about God because maybe we'll find out that it's not true. Maybe we'll find out that actually, like, everyone tells you, like, oh, just have faith. And maybe that's because if you actually look at it too closely, it's like a house of cards that's going to fall down. And it's not. I don't think that it is. It hasn't been my experience that it has been. There are some things that we still might come to and say, like, you know what, we just have to trust God about this because we maybe don't fully understand it. Things about God's sovereignty and complicated questions like that. But I've never encountered a question that has made me feel like, oh man, the Bible's just super inconsistent, or oh no, like God just really can't be good because of this. So
I love you saying that just real quick. Like, I would echo everything you just said and encourage the younger people in the life of our church to ask the hard questions about God. Do it when you're in a healthy local church. Do it when you're even still in your parents' house before you launch to college or military or work or whatever. God can withstand those. When we delay it, maybe even subconsciously to your point, afraid maybe that it won't hold up, we're not doing our own souls any good or your church any good. We need to lean into those things together because God is true and faithful and he passes those kind of tests. So I love you just bringing that up. I think I said this earlier, forgive me if I didn't, but so I've just been thinking about this podcast and how it can be used in the life of our local church. I just kept thinking about the next generation, the life of our church, the young men, the young women, to pray they have a desire to know God and his word, to really give themselves to it. And specifically for my sisters in Christ, to know that God's word is to be studied and enjoyed and discussed by the men and women in the life of the local church. And you are an encouragement to me along those lines, Lindsay. And so I just wanted to have you be the voice to kind of speak into this and encourage everyone at GBC, men and women, young men, young women, to give themselves to God's word because it's so important and just so life-giving. giving. Mm-hmm. So anyway, thanks for what you were saying.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the question you initially asked was about like kind of practically, mm-hmm. What did it look like for me to kind of dig into God's word more? And I think that the most foundational thing that I did, like the most important thing that I did to start out, was just to pray that God would give me a desire to read his word. Hmm. There have been a couple seasons in my life, including even like kind of last year, where I've been like, oh man, I'm trying to get into the word and it's like, it's not clicking. I'm not feeling drawn to reading God's word right now. It's really hard. And I don't think that like buckling down and trying harder is the way to approach that problem. Like when you're feeling like you're not compelled to read God's word, you're not interested, the first thing you should do is ask God to help you to have a desire for that. Because I think that like our sinful natures, we don't desire things that are good. It's our nature to rebel against God's will more than it is our nature to be drawn toward it. And so asking God to help you is a great way to start. And I think that he's faithful to answer that prayer. It might not happen tomorrow. Like you might pray it today and, you know, still not be super excited tomorrow about reading or whatever you're doing. But if you pray consistently over time, I think that you will grow to desire God's word and you will be able to be more consistent in it.
Yeah.
I think another thing that just practically is really helpful is to not be really rigid about what you think Bible study should look like. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of us, especially women, there was this weird phase in Instagram where everybody Instagrammed their Bible study and like all the like.
They'd I mean, you're not a Bible Christian if you don't, right?
And like a latte with latte art and like a pot of flowers next to it
you're
and a beautiful window
stopped?
And a cozy blanket and stuff. Are there still accounts that do that?
I think that's probably still
I just stopped following them, I guess. Yeah. But your Bible study doesn't need to look like that. And if you're a dude, it doesn't need to look like you like out at the break of dawn with a mountain like rugged and you're
only read by a lake.
Yeah, by a lake with mist in front of it. Yeah. That's not what your Bible study has to look like.
Amen,
it can look
Lindsay.
Like folding laundry and listening to your audio Bible. And that's beautiful and God glorifying. Like you can be scrubbing toilets and listening to a podcast about God's word. And that is still beautiful and good.
Wait, so you can actually be a person of God's word and read it in the morning or at night?
Yes.
What?
It's
One's
amazing.
Not more holy than the other?
I know.
Oh,
I actually
wow. okay.
was a consistent, like before bedtime, when I read the Bible in like high school and college, I pretty much did it at night before bed.
Yeah.
I do it more in the morning now, mostly because I'm like super exhausted at the end of the day now. But the time of day doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you listen to it or if you read it. I'd like to remind everyone that literacy was like not super common for a long period, for a long part of Christian history. Like most people couldn't read and most people didn't have print Bibles and they still spent time with the Lord. Listening to the audio Bible is just as good as reading it. I think that sometimes reading it, you'll notice different things when you're listening to it and vice versa. And so both are good. So don't like get all worked up about which way you're approaching it.
So pray to want to be in God's word. Mm-hmm. And I love that because it highlights the pattern we see in scripture of Jesus. He always asks, what do you want? Mm-hmm. So it's a wanting thing. So pray for the wanting and then just be about it no matter what time of day. Mm-hmm. If you need to listen, engage with it, read it. How about what other encouragements would you give to people to really give themselves to, loving God through his word more? Anything else come to mind?
Just like encouragements for
them, like maybe
or like key, other things
like
to do.
Practices or
key
principles.
Practices.
Yeah.
I would say using more than one translation is really helpful. I think that especially if you're just starting out reading the Bible, going with a less literal translation might actually be helpful for you. Like the ESV is good. The NASB is good. Those are more literal translations, word for word translations. But the CSB, the NIV, even the NLT, the New Living Translation, if you're like a middle schooler and you're just reading the Bible for the first time, like the New Living Translation is great.
Yep.
Like, go for it, man.
I recommend that all the time.
Yeah, that's what I started with when I did that first Bible read-through. I was doing the New Living Translation. the ESV is great, but sometimes it's hard to understand if you're especially like a younger reader. Mm-hmm. So yeah, switch it up. Even if you're an older reader, sometimes just listening to something or reading it in a different translation, you'll notice different things about it. And that can be really helpful. So sometimes I will just switch up like what I'm reading just for fun. So that's a good thing to do. Reading repetitively is really important. So you want to read widely, obviously. If you've never read the whole Bible before, I'd encourage you to do that. There's nothing magical about doing that in 1 year, though. You can do it in 2 years. You can do it in 3 years. I'd encourage you to read the whole thing, and maybe shooting for a year could be a good goal for you, but it's totally great to do it in 2 years or whatever as well. But also reading repetitively to study a smaller section of scripture is a great way to really get to know that text. That's how I prepare when I'm getting ready to teach or write a Bible study. I just start out by listening to that on my audio Bible over and over and over again. And you really start to notice the themes come out more. You start to see how it's organized better. And that's really helpful. So reading it repetitively, listening to it, that's super helpful as well.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. How about maybe a two-part question or two implications? First, as you've given yourself to being a woman of God's word and growing in these type of ways, like what has growth looked like for you? Mm-hmm. And for the person who's listening to this podcast that makes it sound like, well, of course Lindsay does this. She was an English teacher.
Yeah.
What has this impacted for like your walk with the Lord? And I don't want to throw on Christianese, but like honestly in your soul, right? Mm-hmm. Like what is this like for your relationship with God? How's that grown in depth and wonder and beauty and all of that, right? So what does growth look like? And then what is growth like for you as a Christian as you've given yourself to knowing God's word more?
I think one of the biggest things that I've seen is just growth looks like knowing how much you don't know and being okay with that. having the humility to realize how much you don't know. When I have done the Simeon Trust, I don't know, in the men's Simeon Trust, do they talk about the competency, the four competencies? Mm-hmm. It's like, basically you start out and you don't know what you don't know. So you're just like messing things up and you don't even realize it. Mm-hmm. And then after that, you like realize what you don't know and you're like, oh, I'm doing this wrong. Cool. Then after that, you start to like gain some skill, you gain some knowledge and you're able to kind of do it. But it's hard work. And then after that is like you're able to do it well without even really thinking about it. And I definitely started out in the like I didn't know what I didn't know. And I didn't know how to do a Bible study or write a Bible study. And it's been humbling to realize how many areas of growth I had. But it's also really encouraging to see how much room there is to grow and how much more there is to learn. And honestly, that's something that's super encouraging to me in my walk with the Lord is just knowing how deep God's word is and how much more I still have to learn. And there's a whole lifetime worth of stuff to learn about God and about his word.
Amen.
And I get to keep doing that for as long as he enables me to do so. And that's super exciting and cool. The Bible is a really big book. It covers a really huge span of history. So there's always going to be more stuff to learn. And it's always such a blessing to me to be able to take what I've learned and then like share that with other people. I heard Jen Wilkins say once, I'm going to not get the quote quite right, but she said like, the level of accountability that I require to stay in God's word is teaching. Basically, like she needs to be teaching other people because that's what like fuels her to keep staying in God's word and keep studying it. And I would say that that applies to me as well. Like teaching is really a blessing to me, probably more than it is to other people. I just so enjoy really digging in and thinking about how what I'm learning is going to help other people in their walk with the Lord. And that really encourages me and keeps me going and doing that.
Yeah, that's so good. How about if you had the awesome DeLorean in Back to the Future and you could go back in time and talk to you, right, when you and Jason were first married, what encouragements would you give your younger self about, hey, give yourself to God's word because, and then fill in the blank? Maybe just like keep unpacking that a little bit. I'd love to just hear what that's been like for you internally in how you trust and follow Jesus.
I think I would probably say to myself that being a student of God's word is going to be harder than you think it is, but it's going to be better than you think it is. Yeah. Like, it's been so rich in my life to be able to use some of the skills that I learned as an to teach English, you know, teach Shakespeare to middle schoolers, and actually use those to bless women in our church. It was honestly almost I won't say like a crisis, but it was like a revelation to me when I started teaching, and I was still kind of I was still teaching English at that time, and realizing how much more I enjoyed teaching God's word than I did teaching English.
Oh, cool! Yeah.
I loved teaching my students. Some of my students even go to GBC now. Like, they're all adults now, and it's weird and stuff. And amazing, because they're all awesome, excellent adults. But I loved teaching English. I loved my students. But teaching God's word is so much more rich and feels so much more meaningful. But it is so hard sometimes, especially like as a woman, especially around the time that I started teaching in the women's ministry. It was around 2016, and I don't know if that number means anything to anybody else. there was a lot of conversation going on around women in ministry and what that should look like, and complementarianism. And it was honestly a little scary for me to see the way that certain women teachers were being talked about on the internet. Women who were really trying to honor God in the way that they were doing ministry, even though maybe they were doing some things that I probably wouldn't do as a woman. But like, they really loved the Lord and just wanted to share the good news with people. It's scary. And it's sometimes still difficult to see the way that people talk about women in ministry. Like, there are people who say that they're complementarian, and they're like, I don't think the women's ministry should exist because like, women should only teach each other, like, they shouldn't teach each other the Bible. They should just be teaching each other how to like be good wives and mothers. And I think that women should teach each other those things. And if we're not like setting the foundation for how we're wives and mothers and friends and women on the truth of the gospel and the good news, then what we're teaching is kind of pointless. And it's legalism, probably.
Yeah. Yep.
Like, we need a good, solid foundation in the gospel before we get to the application of how we live it out in the different callings that God has given us.
Yeah.
And all of those callings are good because they're the ones that God's given us. Like, if we're called to singleness, if we're called to parenthood, if we're called to whatever, missionary work in a different country, like, all of those things are good ways for us to glorify God. And we do those things like uniquely as different people and as men and women. And we shouldn't like say that God likes one of them more than the others.
Yeah. Like, amen. Yeah. Yeah, I appreciate what you're saying. And God's word is best, and it's for our good. And so we want to lean into what God's word says. And in the life of this local church is GBC, we don't want to draw harder lines than what scripture draws, right? And so this is probably a different episode or episodes, but we are unashamedly a complementarian church. But I pray that's a gracious, centered on God's word complementarianism, and not our brand of it or what's easier. So for GBC to be a healthy church and to flourish and advance the gospel, we need every member, every man and woman member of GBC to be a person of God's word. We all need to study it. We need to give ourselves to the theology of knowing God and who he is. That only like shows how the worth of Jesus. And then we're going to really love one another, which adorns the gospels, the final apologetic. So amen. It should be all of us together giving ourselves to these things. And then when we trust God's word, I think we're going to be a healthy church in the long run when we trust his word. So I appreciate what you're saying.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I think that we can look at those boundaries that God has set on like what different roles men and women have. And we can have different understandings of what those are. I think different churches have different ways of understanding that. But ultimately, it comes down to the question of whether or not we trust that God is good. And I think that that has been something that I've had to wrestle with a lot. Are the boundaries that God has set good? And I think that wrestling with those questions has really given me a lot more compassion for people who struggle with some of these topics. Like, this can be a really emotional topic, especially for women. I think that that's another reason that I've kind of become so passionate about teaching, is because I think that unconsciously, in those early years when I was first starting to study God's word, I had this feeling that, like, the Bible wasn't really for me. You know, when you go to church and you see women teaching, and then it kind of disappears when you get to middle school and high school, and, like, you don't see the women as much anymore, it can feel like, oh, this is the thing that, like, guys do, I guess. And even, like, reading the Bible, because there's so many more, like, male characters in the Bible, there aren't as many prominent women characters, or if you're reading a translation of the Bible that translates Adelphoi as brothers instead of brothers and sisters, then you can start to get this feeling like, oh, I guess the Bible is about guys and it's not really about girls. And that's really sad. And it's not true. It's just not true. And there are lots of things that we can do to combat that. But I think it's just so important for women and girls to know that God made us, that God made all of the Bible for all people.
Amen.
Like, there aren't pink and blue sections of the Bible. Ruth is not just for women. I love that we're going to study Esther, by the way. I'm so excited for the Esther preaching series.
Me too. Me too.
It's going to be great.
Yes. Okay.
But yeah, it's so good for all people to read all of God's word, and that we shouldn't avoid the things in the Bible that make us uncomfortable. We should go for them and read about them and study them and talk to other believers about them and wrestle with them instead of just hiding from them. Because if you just hide from the things that make you uncomfortable, whether it has to do with gender or whether it has to do with other things, like, you know, I can't think of
predestination, free will.
Predestination, the genocide in the Old Testament, like things that are hard, things that are difficult. If we just run away from those things and ignore them, we're probably going to end up actually with a weaker faith. Like, we might think that we're like, oh, I'm just exercising faith, I'm just trusting God. But if you're just, like, running away from the problem and hiding from it, like, you're not actually growing in your faith. Like, God's word, like I said already, God's word can stand up to scrutiny. God made our minds. He made us to understand the Bible with our minds, and we can read well, read widely, and grapple with those things, and ultimately trust that God is good, even if I can't really understand why certain things are the way that they are.
Amen, Lindsay. Amen. Yeah, why would we rob ourselves of experiencing God's goodness in fuller ways if we don't lean into those type of things?
Yeah.
Man, I appreciate you. Appreciate this conversation about kind of two things I'd love to get you on vinyl, so to speak, speaking about.
Young people won't know that reference.
I know. I made you myself. So I'm a dad of girls and boys. My two oldest daughters, one's in university, one's junior in high school. If you had an opportunity to hang out with them or other young women in the life of our church, like specifically to your younger sisters in the faith, I know we've been talking about this some, but kind of zoom in, the scope is them. What encouragements would you give sisters? Give yourself to God's word in this kind of way. And because anything else, like, come to mind if you had that opportunity?
Yeah, I think that I would encourage them with the Great Commission, that God made us to be disciple makers, and that that will look different for different people. I think people like to say that a woman's highest calling is, like, to be a wife and mother. And that's a beautiful high calling. And I love that. But any Christian's highest calling is to be a disciple maker. And as a woman, that might look like being an awesome wife and mother. It might look like being a missionary. It might look like being an awesome teacher. It can look like a lot of different things. And don't let anyone steal your joy in serving the Lord by denigrating the calling that He's given you. Like, go go for the calling that he's given you, find joy in that, and just serve him where you are.
It's a good word. Good word. Yeah. All right. How about, again, we're kind of scratching the surface on a lot of different stuff, but if people are hearing you like, yeah, I want to grow in God's word in this kind of ways, any resources that come to mind, you know, people that have influenced you that you'd say, hey, check out this. Like you mentioned Simeon Trust earlier. Mm-hmm. I love Simeon Trust.
Simeon Trust is great.
Yes. Yeah. Anything else?
I have a bunch. I made a list.
Oh, you did. Awesome. All right. Let's go.
Guys. Yeah. One really great book, it's called Women of the Word. It's by Jen Wilkin. Mm-hmm. It's a great book for women. It's also a good book for men. Mm-hmm. It's really just about basic Bible literacy. It talks about some of the stuff that I talked about like repetitive reading and that kind of thing that can really help you to get started in studying God's word. It's a great book for either gender. The Knowing Faith podcast is Jen Wilkin's podcast that she does with JT English and Kyle Worley. And it's really good. I really commend that to you if you like podcasts. Another one that was
just
really
real quick, if someone didn't and they're listening to this, that'd be funny.
Like, thank you for being here.
What's
if you
podcast?
Hate podcasts,
yeah,
and
might
you're still
be
listening.
Some people this is the only one they
yeah,
subscribe
that's true,
to.
That's true. Yeah.
Thanks for listening if you hate podcasts and you're still here. Another really good one, this is kind of an older one, but it's by Nancy Guthrie and it's called Help Me Teach the Bible.
That one's so good.
It's so good. It has a episode for every book of the Bible and she interviews someone who's like written a commentary or whatever on that book of the Bible. And it's so good. I love it. It was really influential to me, actually. Nancy Guthrie was the speaker at this conference that I went to. There was this women's teaching conference that used to happen called Verity Fellowship that was started by two Western Seminary students, female Western Seminary students. And Nancy Guthrie was the first like plenary speaker at that. And literally, I don't think I would have started teaching the Bible if I hadn't gone to that conference.
Wow.
Like listening to her teach God's word and do biblical theology the way that she did, like blew my mind and changed my life.
Wow.
And I love Nancy Guthrie so much. So her podcast is really great. She actually has her own workshop series on biblical theology where she actually gives, I think, the same talks that she gave at that conference. So, and you can do it online. So
sounds
you
awesome.
Should totally do it. It's great. I love Nancy Guthrie. And then yes, Simeon Trust is great. If you feel intimidated about going to one of their workshops in person, you can actually do their courses online and it's like $20 or something like that. You can do their first principles course, which is super great. And then you can also do their in-person workshops, which are great, although they're kind of geared towards people who want to teach more. I think they've kind of emphasized that more recently, but they're really good. Rebecca McLaughlin's book, Confronting Christianity, that is the book that I wish that I had when I was in high school and college. Like, it really grapples with some of those really difficult questions about the Bible that I think a lot of young people wrestle with, even adult people wrestle with. It's really well written. It's really well done. And she also has a podcast as well called Confronting Christianity. I also really liked the Bible Project videos and their podcast. The podcast is a little more academic, I guess, but it's good. There are some things I disagree with those guys on, but overall, I really appreciate their approach to like taking a theme in scripture and just like tracing it all the way through. It's really helpful. So.
Thank you. Those are awesome resources. Maybe we could throw some of those in the show notes.
Absolutely.
Lindsay, thanks for being willing to come on and have this conversation again. I know we're just scratching the surface in this stuff. So if any of this brings up questions, I'd encourage GBCers to reach out to Lindsay and ask to talk about this more. What does this look like in her life? Any recommendations she has in terms of these resources or other things? Just, I think we know this. We're called Gresham Bible Church, but we don't just want to assume that because Bible's in our middle name. We want to grow and being a people who are really shaped by God's word and actually love it. And to your point, Lindsay, trust God is good so we can give ourselves to it. So thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. If any of this sparks any questions, comments, any of it, again, we want to have in-person conversations and or you can reach out to me at mike@greshambible.org. So until next time, Gresham Bible Church, love you. Thanks.